Hello, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, I'm your host, and today we are episode 119.4, and that is 2 Kings chapter 4. So welcome to everybody out there. Thank you for being here. If you are here, I don't believe it's because it's an accident or a coincidence. I believe that God led you to this particular podcast for a reason. We read the Bible one chapter a day, 5 days a week. That is what Leap of Faith Podcast is all about. We try to keep it simple. Again, I say we because it's usually one time a week. There's Jeremiah, who's my co-host, but he's been a little busy with work. So understandably, got to put that it's not above God by all means, but he does have to make a living and support his family. Anyway, just glad you're here, glad you found us, and I'm blessed to be able to lead this Bible study for whoever's out there listening. So just glad that you're here. I'm not going to dilly-dally because chapter 4 is a little long, and so I'm going to go ahead and pray and then give you your Bible verse, and then we will start to read. So let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Holy God, we come to your throne with grateful hearts, and we lay everything at your altar. We lay everything, all of our needs, all of our desires, all of our blessings, we lay them at your altar and we lay them at your feet. And we thank you for all things. Whatever season we might be in right now, we are grateful and thankful for that. And we might be parenting young children. We might be parenting teenagers. We might be parenting college students or adults who are moved out. You're always parenting. Or maybe you're a single person and you're in that season of life where maybe you're actively looking for a partner that God is going to provide for you. Whatever your season of life is, Lord, in this world, we are grateful. Thank you for what you have given us. We are grateful for homes, food, clothes, whatever it is that you're providing for us in this time. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you've just found a new church. Whatever that might be, Lord, we are thankful that you are providing these things and guiding and directing us in all things. And of course, we are most grateful for the gift of your Son, the sacrifice of his life on the cross, and the blood that he shed. He is the sacrificial lamb, unblemished, the perfect, perfect sacrifice. And we are thankful for him that he died on the cross for our sins. And we have the promise of heaven and eternal life with you because of it. So thank you. Lord, we ask you to bless those out there, whatever their needs are. I don't know what they are, but you do. So just asking you to step in and take care of business for these folks out there who are whatever they're looking for. Lord, we ask you into this time in your word, we pray you bless it, anoint it, and reveal to us what it is that you want us to learn from it. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today's Bible verse is from Psalm. And this kind of resonated with me because, as I said yesterday, kind of looking for a purpose and trying to figure things out. And so I thought this kind of, pinged on me. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. That just jumped at me. You will show me the path of life. If we pray about it, and I am praying about it, I'm trying to figure it out. And if you don't know your path of life, or maybe your life is making a different direction, taking a different direction, whatever that might be, I feel like this is kind of a good verse because you're asking God, show me the path of my life. Show me where it needs to be. And in his presence, we have fullness of joy, and your right hand, at your right hand, are pleasures forevermore. You know, I just found that that was sort of encouraging to me, because as long as we're praying and we're trying to be in his will and do what he wants us to do, I believe that we will have that joy. So I found that to be a very encouraging verse for today. All right, let's go ahead and dive into chapter 4 of 2 Kings. And again, like I said, we are episode 119.4. Elisha helps a poor widow. Excuse me, I'm sorry. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Your olive oil from your flask, pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on it, on whatever one at what is left over." I'm sorry. Elisha and the woman from Shunem. One day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, "I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." One day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her, we appreciate the kind concerns you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied, "my family takes good care of me." Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man." "Call her back again," Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, "Next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." "No, my lord, oh man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. One day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father, who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly, he cried out, "My head hurts! My head hurts!" His father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noon time, he died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, "Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back." "Why go today?" he asked. "It is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath." But she said, "It will be all right." So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, "Hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to." As she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, Look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child? Yes, the woman told Gehazi, everything is fine. But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is. Then she said, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Then Elisha said to Gehazi, get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. But the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me. So Elisha returned with her. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, the child is still dead. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. As he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi, called the child's mother, and when she came in, Elisha said, here, take your son. She fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. Miracles during a famine. Elisha now returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. One day, as the group of prophets was seated before him, he said to his servant, put a large pot on the fire and make some stew for the rest of the group. One of the young men went out into the field to gather herbs and came back with a pocket full of wild gourds. He shredded them and put them into the pot without realizing they were poisonous. Some of the stew was served to the men, but after they had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, man of God, there's poison in this stew, so they would not eat it. Elisha said, bring me some flour. Then he threw it into the pot and said, now it's all right, go ahead and eat it. And then it did not harm them. One day a man from Baal Shalisha brought the man of God a sack of fresh grain and 20 loaves of barley bread made from the first grain of his harvest. Elisha said, give it to the people so they can eat. What? His servant exclaimed, feed 100 people with only this? But Elisha repeated, give it to the people so they can eat, for this is what the Lord says. Everyone will eat, and there will even be some left over. And when they gave it to the people, there was plenty for all and some left over, just as the Lord had promised. Well, that's a lot of miracles going on there. I get kind of swept up with the reading of the history there, so I didn't highlight. I didn't really start highlighting until the whole story of the little boy. I don't know if you've heard of that story about the woman with the olive oil. So the widow comes to Elisha and says, my husband who served you is dead, and now the creditor has come threatening to take my sons as slaves. So he says, what do you have in the house? Trying to help her out. And she says, nothing but a flask of olive oil. And so he says, get as many gourds as you or jars as you possibly can. Then go into your house with your sons, close the door so nobody can come in. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. And she does this. And soon every container is full to the brim. And they say there are, and she says, bring me another jar. And they say there aren't any more. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. So God filled up every single jar that needed to be filled. And Elisha tells her, now go pay your debts and then live off of whatever's left over, because that's what's going to happen. So that's the first miracle. Then you've got the woman from Shunem. You know, Elisha's wanting to do something nice for her. Now, let me say this. I don't know where in the New Testament, and I hope I can find it maybe the next time around when I get to read it. But the fact that she has set up in 9, she says to her husband, I'm sure this man who stops from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes. I think that's part of a Jewish, like, not tradition, but I think that that's what they tell you. You should always have a room for guests. And so, and I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in the New Testament. I don't know where it is, but I put a dog ear on that so that I can go back and check it. So they've created this room for him. So every time he comes, so of course, Elisha is being, you know, wanting to do something for her. He knows that her husband's old and she's not going to be able to have kids with him. And of course he says, you're going to have kids. You're going to have a son by next year. And she says to him, no, my Lord, do not get my hopes up like that. She's like, you know, don't do that. And he says, but, you know, sure enough, the woman gets pregnant and she has a baby the following year. But then the little boy gets sick. Now, we don't know how old the child is. It says one day when her child was older, he went out to help his father. So he's old enough to help dad. So maybe, I don't know, 8, 10? I don't know. I don't know when kids go out there to help out. He says, my head hurts, my head hurts. And then the next thing we know, he's dead. So she's send one of the servants so I can go on a donkey to go talk to Elisha. And she approaches the man of God. This is in 25. And Elisha sees her and tells Gehazi, the woman from Shunem is coming, and ask her if everything's all right. And she says, yes, everything is fine, but it's not. So then when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. That reminds me of the woman who just wanted to touch the hem of Jesus's garment. So Gehazi began to push her away, but he says, no, she's deeply troubled, you know, but I don't know what it's about. And of course she says, didn't I ask you, you know, to not get my hopes up and don't deceive me? And of course, Elisha's getting ready to fix this. And so he's sending Gehazi ahead of time to get, you know, to touch the son with his staff. And he does hurry ahead. She says to Elisha, I'm not going back unless you're with me. And so Gehazi says, the child is still dead. So then Elisha lays down on the child, placing his mouth on him, his eyes on the child, and his hands on his hands. I mean, he's like obviously doing something. And then Elisha gets up, walks back and forth. Maybe he's praying. I don't know. And then he stretches himself out on the child again. And this time the boy sneezes 7 times and opens his eyes. I mean, what a miracle. This is huge. And then, of course, there's the miracle during the famine when they make the poisoned stew. And all Elisha has to do is put some flour into it, and it's good. So these are, you know, these are miracles that Elisha is obviously performing in the name of the Lord. So, I find it very interesting. I love reading this because it's kind of stepped away from the whole king thing and all that evil stuff that's going on. So Elisha's doing some good stuff over there. You know, we mentioned Jesus and the touching of the woman touching the hem of Jesus's garment. You know, that's all she wanted. She just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. That's all. She didn't need anything else. I mean, that's how much faith she had that he could heal her. I think she had been bleeding for like 10 years or something like that. And he healed her just on her faith alone for just touching her garment. So with that being said, that she had this kind of faith, you know, I believe that there's somebody out there who is on the fence. They don't know whether they should become a follower of Christ or not. If you haven't done it, every day I say this prayer in hopes that there's somebody that wants to get saved. So if you feel like God's calling you, please say this prayer with me. It is not me. I'm not the one saving you. It is Jesus saving you. It's not my prayer. It's about your heart and believing in Jesus. So I'm going to say that prayer, and I hope that you say it with me. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It is his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations. Welcome into the family of Jesus Christ. You're a brother or sister in Christ now. You're adopted in. God handpicked you to be adopted. It's amazing, and it is a miracle, and it is a day of celebration. So go celebrate. We also highly recommend that you get to a church, a pastor. If you've got questions, they can answer them for you. We also suggest that you get involved with this church. You know, there's ministry, mission work, volunteer work, Bible studies. I mean, there's tons of stuff you can be doing at church to further the kingdom. Use your talents that God has given you and, you know, get living for Jesus. That's all I can say. So, and we'd love to hear from you. If you did accept Christ today, please. You can email us, Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. Message us on Facebook or Instagram, however you want to. We do check it every day. And so, you know, we'd love to hear from you. As always, I do not know what time of day it is or what day it is, morning, noon, night. I have no idea when you are able to be a part of this, but I'm glad that you were able to. I'm glad you made it. And so I pray blessings over each one of you, and have a great day. Have a good evening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Take care.